With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore, and we are doing another coach's profile on high school football coaches with Peabody's Mark Betancourt. And coach, not only a football coach, of course, but I imagine the only thing you probably haven't coached is curling, although maybe you have. How you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Mark, I'm guessing there's a Betancourt University of Athletics and Coaches somewhere, because we've got to start with the legacy of your family and your family name in Peabody, and what it all means, where it all started, because you have you and your family and your cousins and your relatives, you have exploits in every sport that there is in Peabody. So tell me a little bit about your family background, if you don't mind, Mark, and you know, maybe the parents and where all this stuff got started.
It started with my grandparents had 9 children, 8 boys and 1 girl, back when you had families that big. And, you know, my father was the oldest, and I am the oldest of the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up hearing stories about all my uncles playing baseball and football and basketball. And, you know, my cousin Teddy and I were the 2 oldest, and all we did was hear the stories, and we'd go to by the time we could remember, we were old enough, we'd go to the fast pitch softball games and just see the competitive edge that every one of my uncles and my dad had. And it was funny because there were times when Teddy and I would count up the scorebook at the end of the game. And if our team lost, we'd always go up to the fence and say, which one's going to start the fight during the handshake? Very, very, very competitive family. I can remember Christmas Eve at my grandparents' house. You always look forward to the football game. We'd have, you know, 3 or 4 of my uncles against 3 or 4 of my other uncles, then I would carry the football, which was usually a curled up pair of socks. And I used to take a beating trying to get to the end zone as my uncles crashed into each other trying to score a touchdown on the couch. It was just a very competitive, very loving family. Grew up in a great environment with my family. And the Betancourts are well known for their athletics because there were so many of them. And, you know, a couple of them were very, very good. I know Michael Dave. I hear a lot of stories about Davey Betancourt. And my father was a pitcher for Peabody High. Michael Eddie was on the 69 undefeated football team. Michael Bob, you know, played professionally for a couple of years in the Yankees organization. Michael Tommy was a real good fast pitch softball player. It's just the whole family. Even my auntie Lisa was an excellent, excellent athlete. She was the last one of the group, and it wasn't lost on her either. She was a great athlete as a, you know, high school kid, and even to this day, she's still very athletic and still involved in playing, you know, softball with her nieces and her family, and just a family full of athletes and very competitive people.
Oh, that's a fantastic legacy and story, Mark, the introduction, we're supposed to be focusing on football, but I can't just focus on football with you. But your first introduction to football, do you remember how young you might have been and what it was?
My goodness. I know as a young boy, going to the Peabody High football games were a regular thing.
Mm-hmm.
Playing youth football, I can remember just going up to Emerson Park. I grew up on Lowell Street. Downtown Peabody, walking up to Emerson Park for football, and 80, 90, 100 kids were up there. My youth football coach, Larry Bonjet, was instrumental early in my football career in teaching us how to play and how to compete. And you know, we won a lot of games in youth football. I still, to this day, you know, my teammates from high school, you know, South Peabody versus West Peabody, versus downtown. I was a downtown kid. A lot of kids on my team were from West Peabody and South Peabody. They were the Giants of West Peabody and the Redskins of South Peabody. We were the Saints and the Raiders, and the competition even at that, back in those days, was very, very big. You always wanted to play in the Super Bowl because the Super Bowl for the city was at Peabody High School. And you wanted to play on that field that you used to go watch the games at on Friday nights. So growing up in Peabody and being a part of the culture of not I mean, not just the football, the athletics as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of grew up wanting to be a Peabody Tanner. And when you got there, you were excited to be there, and it was your turn to, you know, to carry that torch, because you knew there was a whole bunch of young kids in the stands watching you like you did to the kids back then.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the, you know, the 83 Super Bowl team, the 86 Super Bowl team, watching those teams play, and every team in between. I mean, it was just a great thing as a young boy to want to grow up and play. You know, for me, it was Coach Niz. You know, my uncles played for Coach Adamopoulos. Just great tradition. And, you know, when I started playing, you know, I knew that, you know, this is going to be something that, you know, every little kid in this city should try, because I really had a great time coming up through the system.
Well, there's no question that you exude that enthusiasm to this day on how much you enjoy it, and not only, of course, football, but the other sports that you're involved in as well. What was the first position you played, Mark, and then where'd you end up through high school on offense and defense in football?
It's funny, because in youth I was such a tall kid and I had a strong arm that I would play tight end on offense, and anytime there was a need for a long play, a third and long, I'd go play quarterback, and I'd catch the ball and block the first couple downs, and if you didn't make good yardage, they'd put me at quarterback, and I'd throw the ball, because I was probably the only one who could throw the ball more than 10 yards. On defense, I was always a defensive end or an outside linebacker type position, and then that carried me right up through high school. When I came up to the high school, I was a tight end and a defensive end the first couple of years, and then my senior year, it was actually comical that Coach Nizwatowski came out to me during camp and said, go change your shoulder pads and your face mask. You're going to play quarterback. I was 6'4", 220 pounds, biggest kid on the team. And I kind of chuckled at him. I said, yeah, sure, Coach. He goes, no, I'm serious. Go change your pads and change your face mask. You're gonna play quarterback.
Oh man, that's something. All right, and you know, it's funny you mentioned Coach Adamopoulos and Coach Nizwatowski. Just as an aside, when I first started at WESX with Bill Newell, it was very difficult for me to talk with coaches. I'm about 5 feet nothing, and I don't know anything about the sports at the football, especially local football. And Coach Adamopoulos was easily, and still to this day, is easily the most difficult interview I ever had, because he didn't help me at all. If I wasn't prepared, he wasn't going to do my work for me. So, you know, it was something to get him. But we loved doing those games back when Adamopoulos was there, because they opened up with Salem every year. So it was always Salem versus Peabody. And Peabody was a powerhouse in the GBL. And then Coach Niz was much easier to talk with, of course. But those guys are legends, Mark. And you know, you ended up coaching football after a long stint, or during a long stint in baseball. And the legacy of those two guys with respect to what you do, because you filled in, and I know that you take such pride in your team and your kids. And you always, you know, you set your goals, and then when you achieve them, you give the kids all the credit. But what's it like? What's your influence with each of those two guys? Well, you probably didn't know Adamopoulos, but what about with Coach Niz?
Well, I mean, I never knew Coach Adamopoulos on a personal level, but I felt like I knew him through my uncles, the different stories I heard, not just from him, but, you know, the Moak brothers, Neil Hagstrom, a lot of the guys that you know, I looked up to, you know, between my uncles and their friends. You felt like you knew who the man was, and you knew what the man represented. It was mm-hmm. about discipline. It was about respect. It was about dedication. And it was about, you know, tough, hard-nosed, grinded-out football. Just tough, hard-nosed kids playing football. And, you know, Coach Niz, you know, probably one of the biggest mentors in my life outside of my family. As far as teaching us how to be men, you know, they brought us in. He was my gym teacher when I was at the center school, in grammar school. And he was the assistant, then became the head coach. And you kind of watched him as a person, you know, as I was growing up. And you looked forward to your chance to play. So when I finally got there and got to, you know, play for Coach Diniz, I played baseball too, so I played two sports for him. You really admired what he did for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
They know what he did for our group and, you know, the groups after me. And he just had a way of getting the best out of everybody. It didn't matter if it was a really good student from West Peabody or a really bad student from downtown or a kid who, you know, it didn't matter where you were from, what your demographics were, what your economic background was, Coach Diniz got the best out of you. And I think that Coach Adamopoulos was the same way, and that's really, you know, that's kind of the motivation that I have is, you know, win or lose, when you walk out of Peabody's football stadium, you're going to know you played a football game. We're going to have tough, hard-nosed kids from Peabody that you know, that want to win.
And you've always you've always taken care of all the team guys since I've known you, Coach, in terms of whether they're stars or not. And I think that might have been a lesson, too, that that you picked up along the way. I want to ask you about maybe a favorite experience or two in high school, you know, whether it's a game or a practice or whatever. There must be one or two things that stand out that automatically pop into your memory with your fellow teammates or guys who are still friends.
I mean, in high school football, I mean, that's a pretty easy answer was, you know, playing in the Super Bowl. Getting the opportunity to play, I think it was Sullivan Stadium back then on the rock-hard turf. but just having that opportunity for me and all my friends and my family and the community, I remember we were walking in the clouds during that time period.
Mm.
And after we won, you felt like everybody in the town knew you. You couldn't walk into, you know, wherever it was, Santoro's, without, you know, them giving us our sub for free, or going to Brothers Deli and saying, "Hey, there's Mark. You know, and lunch is on me." And you just felt like a king. And I just remember during that game, you know, how nervous you were prior to the game, how confident you were during the game, and how, you know, relieved you were after the game, that all the hard work that you put in paid off. So for me and all of my buddies, the guys I still talk to almost every day are guys I played in high school football with. And that Super Bowl was obviously a pinnacle. Before that, you know, the big game was the Waltham Peabody game. Waltham finished 9-1. We finished 10-0. Pretty much the winner of that game was going to the Super Bowl. And we were able to win that game at home.
Wow.
It's another game that stands out in my mind, wow. A real hard-nosed fight against Waltham.
I love the way you remember the emotion of, you know, confidence and nervousness and then relaxation afterwards, because you don't usually hear that from athletes and coaches, but you go through that. And did you ever have butterflies at a game before the game?
I don't think you were a human if you didn't. Some of the big games that we had to play. I mean, that's even my senior in football. I think we played, you know, Waltham was undefeated when we played them. Everett was undefeated when we played them. Malden was undefeated when we played them. And our Thanksgiving Day game was, if Saugus was 8-1, we were 9-0. If they beat us, they went to the Super Bowl, and we didn't. If we beat them, we went to the Super Bowl, and they didn't. And then obviously the Super Bowl itself, there's so many times during that one season that you were up against it, and a lot of pressure, and you know, it was fun to play in those games. And you know, early in your career, there were butterflies. The butterflies started to go away as you continued to be put in those big time situations. And I think that benefited me when I played in college. I had to pitch some big games for Boston College, and I remember pitching on regional television against the Boston Red Sox in the first BC Red Sox baseball game. The pressure of being on television like that, performing, and I remember striking out Tony Pena in that first game, and I remember the whole town. It's like everybody in town knew that I had done that.
Well, hell yeah, God. What about your college experience, Coach? What are your favorite memories there?
Those memories are much different because in college baseball, it's a lot more individual than really it is team. I pitched some big games. I remember winning, against Seton Hall when they were really, really good. I remember beating St. John's when they were real good. You know, like I said, pitching against the Red Sox in the three games that I was able to do that in my sophomore, junior, and senior year.
Where was that? Where were those games played?
They just opened it. When I was at BC my freshman year, we always followed the Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
So we were in Winter Haven.
Winter Haven, yep.
My sophomore year, they moved the Red Sox down to Fort Myers.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually played the first game at City of Palms Park.
Wow.
And that was against the Red Sox in a scrimmage on TV. And that was a huge thrill. Getting a chance to play at Fenway Park in the Bean Pod all four of my years, pitching Fenway Park was some huge highlights in my career there. Just a lot of stuff that I remember a lot more things as being individual, like that I was able to do this, I was able to do that. Much different feeling than when I was in high school, where mm-hmm. it was a lot of we did this and we did that.
That's interesting. Yeah, yeah. What now, Mark? You coach so many different sports, and you do it so well. Are there similarities when you work with high school kids? Let's focus on high school kids. Are there similarities in your coaching style and I don't know, your knowledge of teaching fundamentals or whatever it might be? Are there similarities with baseball and football, just talking about those two?
Yeah, baseball is, and this is going to sound, I don't know if this will be too well taken, but it seems to be more of a skill, technique.
Mm-hmm.
Type of a sport.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hitting a round ball with a round bat is very, very difficult. And teaching the fundamentals of hitting, the fundamentals of fielding and pitching and catching and base running, it seems like a little bit more skillful. Whereas in football, it's more about getting 11 kids to play as one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about responsibility and about, you know, whether it's gap control or thirds of the field or halves of the field or quarters of the field, there's so much more team involvement in that than there is. At the very beginning, you teach a lot of technique. And football, you could never do by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of figured that out as I started becoming a head coach. Baseball, you know, with an assistant or two, you can get a lot done. Football, you need to rely on so many different coaches to do their job because you can't do it all as a head coach. You've got to have somebody working with your offensive line, somebody working with your running backs, your wide receivers, your quarterbacks, your linebackers, your safeties, your corners. There's so many moving parts that football, for me, motivating the kids was difficult because I took on too much.
Hmm.
Now that I have figured out how to be a head coach and how to delegate and trust and get good people in good positions like the coaching staff that I have now. Now I can step back a little bit more as the head coach and be the motivator and the disciplinarian and do the things that I'm real comfortable doing as I've been doing it for so long in so many different sports,
right.
Motivating kids to be the best that they can be. And that's really, you try to get to that point. In basketball, when I coached basketball for many of those years, you could have one, maybe two assistants, and everything ran fine. Coaching Little League Baseball, one or two assistants. Football has always been such a different animal that you need 8, 9, 10 guys, you know, and you're talking about three different levels. So your freshman coaches, they've got to be at the top of their game. Your JV coaches, your varsity coaches, your positional coaches, your coordinators, there's so much involved in football that I feel much better now where I am than when I first started.
Wow.
I can, you know, really focus on the kids and you know, motivating them, disciplining them, and making sure that they're where they're supposed to be. Now that, you know, football's kind of, it's morphed into what I really think it should be. I'm more of the leader of the gang,
mm-hmm.
and the gang does a lot of the grunt work.
Well, it's great when you can get guys that you can trust and you oversee that. How do you guys evaluate your coaching? How do you go about doing that among yourselves? Because you know, you have to do some self-evaluation, I'm sure, during the year from time to time. What's the process with that, Mark?
Well, the biggest thing for me is trying to make sure their hearts in the right place. that they're there for the kids. No one's there for the money. There's not a high school coach anywhere who's there for the money. They're there because they want to be there. And the thing that I found is I try to find guys that don't want my job. Because if you want my job, you always worry about undermining or second guessing. All the guys that I have on my staff, for the most part, they're where they want to be. They don't really have desire to go someplace else because they've been offered jobs in other programs, and they stay where they are. You know, having my foster son, Doug, one of the best running backs you guys ever had.
Great story.
A running backs coach.
Yep.
He's been offered. Endicott's talked to him. Assumption's talked to him. Other high schools have talked to him. Doug's right where he wants to be. He's not going anywhere. He likes being the running back coach at Peabody High School. You know, and finding guys like Justin Powers, my defensive coordinator. People have talked to him about coming to go other schools, and Justin tells them, "This is it. I'm at the top of the mountain. I'm not looking to go anyplace else." Matt O'Brien, one of my offensive coordinators, been in Peabody football just as long as I have, if not longer. He's not going anywhere. He's not looking to leave. He's right where he wants to be. And I think the more coaches you can get like that, and I can go on about all my coaches, they're very happy coaching in Peabody. They're very happy being on this staff. They're not trying to become the head coach. We're all on the same page. And just like in a football team, you know, you need 11 guys working as one machine. You know, my coaching staff is 11 or 12 guys, you know, basically working as one machine. We all know what we want. We all know what our expectations are. They all know what their responsibilities are, and they do them very, very well. I'm very, very lucky to have the guys that I have.
I totally understand that. I'm always happy. I'm very content playing second fiddle. I have no problem with that. I understand that, and that's huge. I want to go back to one question about coaching kids. You know, you mentioned skills with baseball, and then you mentioned more team oriented with football. Is there a place for a kid in football where it might not be a place in baseball? If you don't have hand-eye coordination and you can't hit and you can't throw, you're probably not going to make the varsity. In football, there's a good chance that some kid who may not have tremendous athletic skills but can work at something to get into the team situation somehow. Is that, you know what I'm going with, Mark? Are there places for kids like that who just want to work hard? They'll do whatever you tell them to do, and they can contribute. They may not be starters, but over the course of their 4 years in high school, they're going to be able to help the team.
I think that is one thing that I really like about football that maybe is something that it doesn't exist in baseball. We have kids in our team that, you know, probably couldn't play baseball, probably couldn't play lacrosse. They're not as athletic as the other kids, but there's one thing that they do is they show up every day and they bust their tail. They work hard at every practice. They're on time. They don't miss a practice. We find ways to reward those kids. And for us, you know, me running the special teams, I try to find a place for those kids. They may not be the best athlete of the team, but the team respects them because they work their butt off. And we usually have a spot in our special teams. And I don't like to share that because it could it be one of our weaknesses? It probably could be, but they're not going to know that. You know, we mix it up game in and game out.
Exactly. Yep.
We get those kids on the field.
I love it.
And I kind of look at it as one of my all-time favorite movies, Rudy, how the parents never knew Rudy was on the team because he was only on the practice team at Notre Dame. And that one game when the coach finally let him play, you know, for me, just getting that kid, maybe he's a senior, maybe he's a junior, who never played varsity, never played the Friday night, never got on that field, to get him on there for a handful of plays and let mom and dad see, hey, there he is, there's number 52 or whoever it is. There's a lot to be said about that.
Oh, yeah.
That kid, not being the starting quarterback, was never his intent. But to get out there for maybe one special teams tackle, it might mean the world to him, just like in the movie Rudy. So
I think, yep.
I can keep everything in perspective.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's so cool. Mark, I want to, before I let you go, and I've kept you for a while, and I really appreciate it. I have to go back to the family legacy. I want you to brag about your kids because You don't get to do that, and I know that you don't want to do that, but I want you to, because it's been such a special thing for us on the North Shore to watch those Betancourt kids do so well in so many different areas, and it continues. So please tell me a little bit about your kids.
My wife and I are very, very lucky. We have three daughters and a son. Isabel is the oldest. She's heading over to play softball at Bates College. Actually in a couple of weeks. She's a catcher and she does very well in softball, but in high school she was also a very good volleyball player, and she was a basketball player. Captain of all three sports, and the one thing I was most proud of was she was fourth in her class. So the combination of the athlete and the student was always there with her, and she's the mother hen of our house. She kind of set the mold. And Abigail, my second daughter, same thing, softball, volleyball, and basketball, captain of all three sports, but she's number three in our class. So, there's always that competition, regardless of what you're doing. All of them are captains. All of them played varsity all 4 years. And the big thing, again, is they did well in school, being third or fourth in their class. You almost feel bad for my third daughter, Elizabeth. How does she follow into these footsteps? But, she's right there. I mean, she hit, seven or eight, nine home runs this year with softball as a freshman. She played varsity. I got some time in the basketball court. And she played every game in volleyball as a freshman on the varsity. So she's ready to carry on that legacy. And she's, going now into her sophomore year. And she's ranked second in her class. So she topped the other two. So there's always competition amongst everybody, but it's quality competition. It's everyone's trying to do better. And then my youngest is my son Mark, who's the seventh grade. He'll be going to the eighth grade at Higgins next year. Again, he's a baseball, football, basketball kid. And the thing again I'm most proud of with him is, he's got nothing but A's since he's been at Higgins. So I told him he's got a lot of weight to run. He's going to be the valedictorian to beat his sister.
Oh, my God. Well, you have such low standards in your house.
And I have to say this, too, Rick, is, my foster son, Doug, he came into our family when all four of my kids were under the age of 10. And he's been, a huge part of, the my kids.
I want to ask you about that, Mark, because I want to be delicate because I didn't know whether to ask you or not. But it's been such a great story. We covered that when you were coaching, when he was playing for you at Peabody High School, and then we followed a little bit in his college career and so on. And it's a great story. So if you want to talk about Doug, please do and brag about him.
Well, I can't brag about him. I got him when he was 16 years old. So I can't take too much of the credit for what happened before that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't take credit for anything that he did. Everything he did was motivated by himself. My wife and I and my family just gave him an opportunity that he may not have had if we hadn't taken made the decision to take Doug in. He's proven to be one of the nicest kids. If anybody knows Doug, they never have a negative thing to say. He's highly motivated. What we were able to do with him academically, I think, is the biggest part of that story, that he went from a kid who struggled in school to getting all A's and B's, being the first one in his family to go to college, playing college football at a high level. He's in the top five in several offensive categories over there at Assumption, captain the senior year, working full-time, just bought his first house over a year ago, and he's off and running. And he never forgets where he came from.
Oh my.
He's always coming by the house. He's always coming on the kids' birthdays. He doesn't miss any holidays with us. He doesn't forget where he came from. And as much as we helped Doug get on that road to success and being where he is now, it would be wrong not to say that he didn't have a huge impact on my wife and I and my four kids. My four kids don't know any better. Doug's their brother. And especially Mark. Mark is too young to even realize what was going on. He doesn't even understand the foster part of it. It's not foster brother Doug. It's brother Doug. And I think that our decision to bring that, to take that challenge on, really affected everything, affected all of our lives, not just Doug's. And we're very lucky that it worked out the way it did. There was a lot of people that had to help us at certain times, especially at the very beginning. It was tough with the transition, but in the long run, looking back now, I'm so glad we did that. And I think my kids and my wife would agree. It was a great thing to do, and it worked out wonderfully.
I'm glad. You know, I appreciate your sharing that with us, because that's a very difficult thing to do when you have an older kid like that, bringing him on. It's a very personal situation for you, your family, and for him, of course, and to go through all the transition for him at Peabody High School, a new family, and all that kind of stuff. It's a great story, and again, the Peabody legacy lives on. Mark, I think what I would ask you, and I've ditched the whole thing. Bill Newell gave me a script here, but it's gone. You know, the questions we're supposed to ask. I want to ask you about. If you were to go to the junior high school, or what are they called, middle schools now, and talk to 7th and 8th graders about Peabody High School athletics, and that would be across the board, what's the thing that you would hammer home with them in terms of going to Peabody High School, you know, wearing the colors of Peabody High School and the jerseys, and carrying on all the things that you mentioned today that I'm familiar with, going back to the late 70s and early 80s, what do you talk to those kids about in terms of whether it's baseball, basketball, football, or whatever it might be?
What I do talk to those kids, and I talk to them every year, the big thing that I push for is that you get out of your education what you put into your education. There are so many kids that want to blame the public school system, or you know, the building is not, you know, as nice as another school's. You get out of a school what you put into a school. And, you know, I went to Peabody High School. I got accepted to Harvard. I got accepted to Yale, Princeton, Brown, Boston College. My daughters went to Peabody High 30 years later. My daughter got into Bates. She got into Tufts. She got into all the top schools around. And, you know, my daughter Abigail's going through the process now. You know, my cousin Teddy got into Holy Cross. He's the mayor of the town now. There's plenty of reason to make excuses. but when push comes to shove, it doesn't matter what part of town you come from. It doesn't matter how much money your parents have. What you put into your education is what you're going to get out of your education. And athletics is no different. I don't have a magic wand to make you good at a sport. You got to put the work in. And I compliment them by saying, you're from this town. You're from Peabody. It's in your blood. You don't even know it's there. You understand hard work. You understand dedication. You understand discipline. You understand good character. You just have to reach in and grab it and pull it out. And that's what's going to help you be successful no matter what school you go to. For some reason, there's a huge, huge reason, there's a huge push that you need to go to a private school to get to a good college. And for me, it's the biggest farce going. Mm. All you're doing is spending the money you could have spent on college on high school. When you come to Peabody High, and I joke every year, and every year it gets a laugh, I go speak at a lot of the things or talk to the kids. I tell them, guys, I'm offering you a full scholarship to Peabody High School.
Yeah, exactly.
and you know, everyone laughs and giggles. I'm like, you know, seriously, you don't have to pay to come here.
Yep, that's right.
Instead of spending all that money to go to these private schools, when you're still going to go to college after, you can get the same thing you're looking for there right here. It's up to you. You're going to put the work in.
That's a great teaching moment. I do have one more question, Mark. In terms of counseling, students, you coach so many sports and varsity sports at Peabody High School. It's a year-round thing for you. I forget which coach it was. There was a coach we talked with recently, a very successful coach. He played Division I, and he said he wished he had played Division II or Division III because he would have played more. And so he's able to counsel his kids going into to college, you know, from that aspect, and be, you know, it's the all around person thing. In terms of counseling, Mark, I'm sure that goes on for you all year round with your kids.
And my big thing is, you know, football, baseball, that's third on the list. Number one is being a good kid. That's number one, hands down. Nothing else matters. Number one is being a good kid. Number two is being a good student. Three is your sport. And you have to make sure you have things in the right order. We want to put out good kids. Whether you play football in college or baseball in college, you're going to need a job. And so we want to make sure if you're going to, you know, graduate and have this name attached to you, Peabody football, Peabody baseball for me, that you're a good citizen. You're a good pillar of your community. You're someone who gives back, to other people who need it. You know, in coaching in Peabody, it's sometimes it's much different than other communities. You know, I have dozens of foster kids in my program. Dozens of them.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of kids who don't have a dad at home.
Ooh.
You know, it's different coaching those kids. You have to be willing to step in to that father role on a daily basis if you have to. And I've done it time in and time out. And I do it not because I'm looking for a pat on the back, because that's what these kids, a lot of these kids need. They're looking for that mentor. They're looking for that male figure in their life that they can, you know, they can believe in and they can work for. And a lot of times, you know, that's like my philosophy is very simple. Give me everything you've got, and I want to give you everything I got. And that doesn't end when you walk off the stage of graduation. That
Wow.
goes for the rest of your life. And I tell guys that graduate every year, you've just joined the fraternity. There's nothing I won't do for you. You know what I mean?
And they
believe that, and they hear that I'm a foster parent myself. All those kids start to buy in, like, he really does.
Mm-hmm.
He really does care.
Yeah.
He's not pretending.
Yeah, it's not show and tell. You're doing it. So is your engine, is your heart nuclear powered? Because I know you don't sleep.
Very little sleep for me. And that's causing me some health issues right now.
Oh, geez, no.
I'm dealing with some stuff, but that's okay. I think I have, probably 5 or 6 more years of working the overnights.
Oh, my.
That allows me to coach all the sports that I do. My wife, she's a physician assistant. She takes good care of me. Make sure I'm still rolling. For the most part, it's all gratifying. The reason why aren't you tired? The kids motivate me as much as I motivate them.
Well, you radiate that. It's obvious when you get into your sphere how much you enjoy it and love it with all the kids. And it's I tell you, Mark, I can't thank you enough for letting us do this tonight and getting to know you even better. And I thank you for all of the great lessons I've learned over the years. And we're going to see you in a couple of weeks, of course, when football starts. And we'll talk about the kids at that point. But in the meantime, just thank you so much, Mark, and I really appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
All right, Coach, we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. All right, thanks, Mark. Take care.
Thanks a lot.
Good night. That's Mark Betancourt, who is the Peabody High School football coach and baseball coach and other coaches as well. He coaches other sports, too. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.